Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening. Good evening, loyal listeners. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Joni DeMonk.
And we give a great big thank you to everyone for joining us this evening in the chat room, the dial-ins, and everyone that's going to be listening to the archive downloads. Last week was so much fun, guys. It was so much fun. And Howard wants me to pass along his thanks to you all for making him feel so welcomed and so loved. And it was just a really great show. And for those of you listening that missed the show last week, I truly encourage you to listen to the archive because it was a lot of fun, and I think you would truly enjoy it. So please do that when you have an opportunity. So how are you doing today, Mr. Lamont?
I am doing fine. I am blessed. Thank you very much. Been really looking forward to the show. This is a topic and a conversation that I've had several times working with a couple of health agencies here in Indianapolis. And so this is going to be one of those shows where it's going to be informative and hopefully very helpful for a lot of folks.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Even though it's a very disturbing topic, I think it's a very necessary topic because HIV is very serious, and it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And I looked at some statistics the other day, and I'm sure when Mr. King comes on the line, he'll verify or confirm, you know, exactly what the stats are. But according to what I saw, it said one in every two new cases is an African-American, and that's very disturbing for me.
Yeah, I think the latest information that was just released by the CDC that came out was talking about that, and I think we referenced to it on one of the earlier shows in anticipation of this show and spoke on it because it is an alarming figure, and it talks about if the African American community was a country, it would be behind two of the countries in Africa that have the highest rates in the world.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. Well, I really am anxious to jump into this topic, so I'm just going to go ahead and give our listeners a short taste of some of the upcoming show topics. Next week, we're going to be talking to Julie Christensen, and she will be here to talk about the dangers of allowing our temper to get out of control, which, you know, we all probably experience that one time or another. And she is very well versed in that topic, and she's going to help us talk about some methods and some ways to be able to keep that under control. And the following week, we're going to be talking to the poster child for foster parenting, and that's TV and film star Miss Victoria Rao. So we're very excited about that show coming up the following week. So, moving on to our topic tonight, because I'm sure our listeners are very excited and anxious to talk to Mr. King, I just first want to say that I've never met Mr. King, but I am just really proud of this young man for being an advocate for this terrible disease. And, you know, he first came out with his New York Times best-selling book, On the Down Low, and I first saw him on the Oprah show, but he has made so many different television guest appearances. You know, I can't even begin to name them all. Oprah, PBS, BET, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Discovery Health Channel, and just over 150 national news shows. And he was the executive producer of the BET commentary about HIV in Black America that was the number one watched documentary on BET in the year 2006. And he conducts workshops and presentations, and you know, he is just an outstanding young man for everything that he's doing to try to bring awareness to this terrible disease. So I'm going to bring Mr. J.L. King on the line. And, Mr. King, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm so blessed, and I thank you so much for allowing me to be your guest this evening on your show. I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. Well, I'm a great big fan of yours, too, so you know we match there. And my co-host, Mr. Tony Lamont, is here with us as well.
Tony, how you doing, man?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, and it's really a pleasure. I actually had an opportunity to speak to you when your book first came out, and we did a phone interview working with the radio station I work with in Indianapolis. So it's a pleasure to talk to you once again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So, JL, I'm going to just ask you to, you have been involved in so many different ventures and endeavors, and I'm just so proud of you for taking this on and making everyone aware of how important this topic is, because it is just really affecting so many people. So tell our listeners a little bit about some of the things you've been involved with and how much you've taken a major role in stepping up to make us aware of HIV.
Sure, okay. First of all, I've had so many friends who have died of HIV/AIDS. I still every day meet so many beautiful young people and senior citizens and even some of my friends and family who have become infected with a disease that, with a virus that really is by choice, because, you know, HIV is 100% preventable. You know, and if you think of it that way, you kind of get angry when someone tells you that they tested positive when they didn't have to, especially since HIV has been around, seem like forever, for over 25 years or longer. So why are people still getting infected? You know, when the numbers came out from the CDC recently, and they were talking about that the numbers are greater than they ever thought, and again, African Americans are still being infected with it and a greater percentage than any other ethnic group, that even intravenous drug users, the numbers are decreasing, and the face of HIV is still black, brown, and female. It just really, really pisses me off, excuse my language,
right,
because the education is out there. I mean, there's billboards, there's PSAs, BET, MTV, Essence, Ebony, Jet, Sisters, every magazine on the planet have done stories, and now they're doing stories. I know Essence almost does a story every month about HIV and knowing our status and getting tested, and then the numbers keep going up. It really just baffles me sometimes. But I'm just one person that's really trying to do my part. But I will tell you guys this, that being a spokesperson and being out there on the front line has not been easy for me. You know, I still get death threats. I still get people who want me to shut up and go away. I still get people tell me that HIV is made up and that this is overrated and blown out of proportion. And so it has not been an easy walk in the park for me to go and travel around the world, around the country, talking about, you know, just changing your behavior, looking at your own self, and so you don't become a victim. I've had to fight the African-American community to wake up and realize that we can't depend on the government. We can't depend on the church. We can't depend on others. We got to stop pointing fingers at the gay community. Stop pointing fingers at everybody else but ourselves.
No, exactly. And I find that hard to believe, that people would want you to shut up and stop talking about it, when all they have to do is look at the statistics and see that it's affecting everybody.
You would think that, Kathy, wouldn't you? But I was on a radio show here in Atlanta last week, and you know, as soon as I got off the phone, I got a call from an angry black man who cussed me out, who told me I need to stop talking about HIV, that I stopped scary sisters, and that people think that they can get infected. I mean, you don't believe what you could even imagine what it's like being me, when all I'm trying to do is just tell the truth, get my people to realize that this thing is real. And again, like Tony said, if we don't get serious, we're going to be just like one of the countries in Africa.
Exactly. Well, if people are angry with you for trying to bring awareness to prevent death, then obviously they have some issues of their own, because that's exactly why you're trying to do what you're trying to do, is to prevent it and make people aware of how they can protect themselves.
That's all. Just look at your own behavior. Look at the type of relationships that you create. Now, I always tell women when I do my HBCU tour and speak that you don't have to be so desperate to have a man in your life. You know, it's the same story I tell my own daughter. Like, you know, I love you. You don't need a man in your life. If you're not ready to have sex, if you're not ready to fall in love, if you're not ready to settle down, then don't forget what your girlfriends say. Forget what you see on TV. I don't worry my kids about making me a grandparent because I ain't trying to push them to do something that they're not ready to do.
That's right. I absolutely agree. Now, Gio, let me first ask you, do you have any statistics at all? I mean, I read a little bit about some of the stats, and I know that I read one in every two cases, new cases, is an African-American. Is that true?
I don't know. I try to stay away from the staff unless there's a professional because I have gotten, you know, kind of chastised from those who are researchers, and they always say, well, let us do that. And so I always try to stay away from the numbers because as a public person, if I say something, trust me, it's going to be all over the world. And
true.
If it's not right, I'm going to get my butt beat up because I didn't use the right information. But I will tell you this, that according to people I know who track the disease, they're telling me that, you know, there are senior citizens in our community are a fast-growing a group of new HIV cases. Our young people is getting younger and younger and younger now, and it's impacting our young people that they see a lot of African-American gay men not practicing safer sex, and they see a lot of teenage pregnancy increasing, which means that people are not using condoms. So, you know, if you look at the black and white that's in our face every day, you can see that we're not worried about it. We don't think it's going to impact us.
Exactly. Now, you know, I'm very, very, very anxious, and Tony, just jump in here when you want to, but I am just so anxious to ask JL about the download. I really want you to explain, and don't hold back. Okay, because my listeners want to know. We really want to know. I want to totally understand this down-low lifestyle and you know, how can you look for it and understand it, and where is it? Is it everywhere, or is it just among black people? Is it among white people? Or, you know, just tell it like it is.
And, Kathy, I do want to jump in because as you get into this, JL, I know you can definitely talk about your new DVD because I had an opportunity to see the preview of it, and it's amazing. So definitely talk a little bit about that.
Oh,
about
is that the book? Is that Love on a Two-Way Street?
No, Love on a Two-Way Street is my new book. But also, thank you, Tony. What I did was I had been asked 150,000 times from women all over the world to tell them what are the DL signs. I mean, wherever I go, women come up to me, whether I'm having dinner at Red Lobster or going to a movie, and women see me, they come up to me, and they're like, tell me, what are the signs? What do I look for? How can I tell if a man is lying about his sexuality? How do I know if a man is having sex with men? How do I know if my man could be gay? I hear that so much. So, and I would stay away from that, answering that question for a long time. And then I was in Boston speaking at a university not too long ago, and a sister stood up, and she said, Mr. King, I want you to tell us, there's like 300 sisters in the room, she said, I want you to tell us what are the signs for us to look for. And I said, I gave her like a general answer, like, well, they are really, it's hard for me to explain to you what to look for. And she got angry with me, and she said, damn it, you owe us an answer. And so I came back to Atlanta, and I got with my team, and I said, we're going to put together a DVD that's going to give the top 10 DL signs and more. So when women email me and ask me, I can tell them, I don't have enough time to sit down and talk with you about all the things to look for. However, I have a DVD out. You can buy it. You can play it. You can play it over and over again. You can share it with your girlfriend, your daughters, your mother, and anybody else that you know that needs to understand that there are men out there who lie about their sexuality and that they cheat and they are never going to tell you that they're having relationships with men on the side.
Now, where is this DVD, and how can my listeners get it?
You can only get it currently. You can only get it on my website, which is jlking.net, And it's a powerful look into the lives of men who lie about their sexuality. It's like being a fly on the wall and listening to a conversation of men who are talking about how they lie to their women, how they got away with it. And we have men who, including myself, who's a moderator, who talk about those of us who got caught. And there's a guy, part of the conversation, who's still on the DL, and he talks about why he does what he do and why, how he gets away with it. So it's a powerful piece that I encourage your listeners to order if they really want to know.
Well, give us just a couple of signs, some of the more really, you know, the ones that can really kind of jump out at you.
I tell a lot of women, including in my post, said this with my own daughter and nieces, is that some of the signs that if a man is cheating with another man are almost the same signs of if he's cheating with another woman. One of the number one ways that a lot of men who are on the down low get caught is because they do a lot of their searching for other men on the internet while they're at home. So I can be in my office at home working or making my wife think of working, when in reality I am trying to reach out to other men through personal ads, through popular websites. And so when my wife is, and my girlfriend is cooking dinner for me, she doesn't have an idea that I'm in the office looking for sex with other men. And a lot of times a man gets caught if the woman gets on his computer and he doesn't log off or he doesn't delete his browser history, and she accidentally discovers that her man has an ad on a personal site looking for other men for sex.
Wow. So you could have a macho guy. I mean, he could be macho, just, you know, muscles and everything. That doesn't mean anything.
That would mean that I have friends who live double lives, who play for the NFL, who are entertainers, who are preachers, who are teachers, who are grandfathers. I get emails from 15-year-old, 16-year-old young men who share with me that they're having sex with both men, with boys and girls. You know, I have had women who are first ladies of churches who share with me that they found out that their husband has had men on the side and are having sex with men in the church. Oh, come on now.
Well, I mean, I know, but I'm talking about men that are actually working in the church, like deacons and whatnot.
Deacons and trustees and ushers and choir members. I got one pastor, and I'm not going, I never try to out anybody. I know one pastor.
Oh, no.
Who the leader of a major church in the country, who his wife knows that he is on a DL, but because she doesn't want to interrupt her lifestyle or embarrass the family, she allows him to do what he does, and she doesn't say anything about it. However, she has shared with me that she wants to leave the relationship, but she can't leave the relationship. And I meet a lot of women who can't leave the relationship because they're comfortable. Nobody's going to believe that that pastor, that doctor, that professor, that police officer is a guy who's having sex with men. They're not going to believe that because the man is too masculine, or he's a leader in the community, or he's respected, like myself. You know, I always talk about myself. No one in my family or in my hometown thought that I was living a double life because my ex-wife and I were the perfect family. You know, we had the education, the looks, the kids, the upbringing, the church, the jobs, and we had everything. So when you saw us, you just saw the perfect all-American, African-American family. But little did people know that I was living a double life, and my wife did not have a clue that her husband of 8 years had this secret life.
And I have to tell you, Jay, I mean, I know it's really not funny, but when you first appeared on Oprah, I saw you on Oprah. At the time, you know, I was dating a very, very, very nice young man. Actually, I'm still dating him. And I think I drove him crazy because I asked him that question so many times in so many different ways. And he said, I've already said no. I said, I know you said no, but JL said if you approach the person, of course they're going to say no. They're not going to just stand up and admit it. So, you know, I'm kind of nervous. I'm going to keep asking until, you know, if that is the case, maybe it will come out somehow.
No, he will never say. I mean, my friends.
That's true. I know that. Yeah.
My male friends and associates who are still living a double life, they have said to me, "Look, man, I'm so happy that you are preaching the message, that you are giving the information, but I'm never going to admit to my wife or to my girlfriend that I am on a DL. I'm never going to tell her, even if she asks me, I'm going to tell her no, no." No, and then I'm going to get mad at her if she continues to ask me, and I'm going to tell her, well, fine, if you don't want me, I'll find somebody else to do. Which goes back to my earlier statement, we put too much pressure on women, especially our women, that they got to have a man in their life. If you're 30
years
old,
is that a sign? If the guy just keeps insisting no and leaving me alone and gets angry about it, is that a sign?
No, that's not a sign. But I think that if you really got to get to know a person, you really need to spend some time before you get too involved and let the person be comfortable with who you are and let them open up to who they are. If you listen, you will hear things and you will see those signs, and your intuition will tell you when that person is not right for you. I truly believe that. I think God gives women that little voice, that warning sign that goes off when something's not right with someone they're involved with.
Yeah,
but you need to listen to it. But a lot of women don't listen to it, again, because I'm 30 years old, I don't have a man, I want to have children, my mom wants grandkids, you know, all my girlfriends got married, I'm still single, what's wrong with me? You know? And when they're dealing with those type of issues, then they meet a man at a club or at church or on campus, they don't take the time to know that person. All they see is, I got somebody who wants to give me some time, some sex, and I know that I don't have to be by myself.
But JL, even if they take the time to get to know the person, it's still something that they're it's a risk and a gamble, because it's still something that guy could be hiding and not ready to reveal. So,
that's true.
I mean, how long do you take to get to know the person before you will actually know? You may not ever know.
You might not never know, and we go into a lot of that in detail on the DVD. One of the hardest questions that I'm asked, Kathy, is when a married woman or married women ask me about their man or their husband. You know, I've had women who said to me, well, Mr. King, I've been married for 15 years. I got 3 kids by this man. And I can't go home and tell my husband, because I heard you or read your book, that I need to ask him if he's on the DL or have even thought about it, because it's going to cause problems in my marriage. And then when I get those type of questions, I really don't know what to say, because at the same time, I think about all the women who I know who are married who have gotten infected from their husband, or all the married men I know who wives don't know that they are messing around and having sex with men. So that's a very difficult question for me when I get asked that from married women.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Jill, one of the things that in that statement is you have to be more afraid of not knowing than knowing. And it's that question that you need to get to, because I think that fear is causing a lot of women in our community to get caught up in this kind of situation, because there are a lot of guys that will not tell, they will not share, and they continue the behavior, and the woman will sit back and still not ask that question or even take the precautions, even though there is that suspicion there. And you just have to take the step and step up and do something about it. Otherwise, these numbers and these figures are going to continue growing.
And, you know, Tony, women, I tell women all the time, you know, you need to get nosy. If something is telling you that something's not right, it's not necessarily you're going to find out that he's having sex with men. He may have another girlfriend on the side. He may have some other hidden secrets. But if that little voice inside of you are telling you to get nosy, you need to get nosy. Because I got caught because my wife at the time got nosy.
Right.
You know, she said that she couldn't rest at night. She couldn't sleep. She said she could tell something was different about my behavior, the way I, you know, my whole habits changed. So she said instead of being comfortable and acting like nothing was wrong, she got nosy.
Good for her.
And a lot of women need to get nosy and stop thinking that because you're married to the pastor or your man is an alpha, or that you have a big house in the suburbs, and you go on vacations, and he's home every night, and your kids go to private schools, that everything is hunky-dory. because you got to still listen to that voice. And if that voice is telling you something's not right, you need to follow up on it. And at the same time, I know that we're going to continue to lose a lot more women to HIV and to emotional death because of this behavior. So what I've been doing is trying to work with young people, with young women, with mothers who are raising daughters by themselves, and getting these mothers to talk to their daughters as young as possible about sexual behavior, sexual responsibility, and abstinence, and let their daughters know and their sons that it's okay not to have sex, that you don't have to rush into a relationship, and get to know that person before you have sex with them. So I created a program called Saving Our Daughters, which is a national program where I'm traveling all over the country, bringing mothers and daughters together and having them have honest, open conversations together about what daughters want to ask their mothers about sex. We did one in Augusta, Georgia recently, had 200 mothers and daughters come together, and it was shocked the mothers when the daughters was asking them questions about sexual behavior and trying to get information that they did not know. And the mothers were in shock because they didn't think their daughters were even having sex or interested in sex.
And you know, that brings up an interesting point, because I really want you to talk a little bit about, there may be a lot of guys that are not on the down low. You know, they just, you know, they don't have a preference for secret relationships with other men. They just have regular relationships with females. However, because those guys are so loose with having sex with so many different females, they have no idea who those females have been with that may be on the down low. And so that's why I think everyone needs to try to protect themselves, because I have so many friends of mine that are just so nonchalant and non-caring, and when I try to tell them, please be careful, HIV is out there, it's real, it's a threat, they kind of look at me like, oh, you worry too much. You know, I know what I'm doing. I've known this person for a long time, and they don't know what that person is doing when they're out of their sight.
Exactly. I tell people all the time, Kathy, you're not with a person 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
And when you're a player, and when you're a cheater, and when you lie, you know how to cover up your tracks so well. You know, and I'm okay, regardless if he's not having sex with men, but how many women want to share that man with another woman?
That's right.
You know, it's just infidelity is infidelity. But I do want to say this, too. If I don't say this, I'm going to feel bad. That is, down low behavior is just not an African-American issue.
Yes,
there are white men and Africans and Latinos. It impacts every ethnic group. And that every black man is not on the down low, because sometimes I've been accused of saying that every black man is on the down low, and I had never said that, because I have two adult sons, and I would never make a statement like that, because if I would say that, then I would say that my two adult sons are on the down low, and I know they're not. So not every black man is on the down low, and I'm not trying to create fear between the sexes. I'm not trying to get black women to not date or marry black men. My message is to create a movement of awareness so that you will understand that before you have sex with someone, you need to know what their HIV status, and you need to get to know them first before you rush into something that could backfire and hurt you in the long run.
Right. Now, JL and Tony, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go to the lines. I have some callers in queue, and some of them may just be listening, but I'm just going to open their mic real quick just to be sure. Area code 770, are you just listening or do you have a question?
No, I have a question. This is Dee from Georgia. Hi.
Hi, Dee. How are you doing?
Hello, Dee.
I'm good. I read your book. It's been a long time now, it seems, your first book. But my question to you is, would have came out to your wife eventually if you wouldn't have gotten caught? Or isn't that why you came out to her, because you got caught by her?
You know what? That's a good question, Dee. Thank you. You know what? I got caught, and I've been asked that question 1,000 times. You know what? I don't know if I would have ever just been honest with her, because I grew up in a family of a very religious family, mom, dad, middle class. And, you know, I loved my wife, and I still love her. We're the best of friends today. You know, I had the family, the kids, the house, and I was just happy. Really, I was really happy. But at the same time, I knew that what I was doing to her was not right, But I know that God does not like ugly, and I think eventually he would have busted me himself. And now that I look back on my life, the best thing that ever happened to me, Dee, was when I got caught. Because it set her free so she could find a man that could love her unconditionally and not share her with nobody else or share his own body with other men. Mm-hmm. And it made our relationship stronger, and it made our relationship with our children even stronger.
After all the hurt, though, right? That was a lot of work that you guys had to go through, right? How long did it take her to get to that place?
Ooh, it took her a long time. She went through major therapy, you know, because I was her childhood sweetheart. We went to high school together.
Uh-oh.
I was the man who took her virginity. I was her first baby daddy. So we grew up together. My family loved her family. Her family loved me. You know, we had the perfect marriage. So I hurt her, and I had to ask her for her forgiveness in order for me to move ahead, do what I do. And once she forgave me and my children told me that I'm still daddy and they love me, that was when I was able to stand before the world and be butt naked and say, first, I screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not her fault. It was me. It was nothing she could have done to have stopped me. But I'm glad that God revealed this to her so she could go on with her life and she's happy now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dee and JL both Sometimes, all the time, things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, things happen for a reason, and it was meant for her to know. It was meant for JL to be a spokesperson for this terrible disease. And, you know, God manifests things in mysterious ways, and that's how it was supposed to come out. I mean, a lot of times people get hurt, but unfortunately, we learn from those hurts, and we learn from those experiences, and you know, thank goodness JL was willing to take that experience and use it for the betterment of helping others. So, I think it all turned out well. I mean, she was able to move on with her life, and he was able to help so many other people. So,
Can I ask one last question before I go?
Sure.
My last question is, so because you're being truthful, you put a spotlight on a very hush-hush, you know,
topic.
Way of life, especially in the African-American community. Do you, I know you don't fear because this is you're being truthful, and so that's kind of like setting you free, but do other men, like, make you feel like, why you tell this secret or why you, you know, put us out there or kind of a thing? Do you get approached with those kind of people that's mad because you kind of put the spotlight on there?
Do you know, after I did Oprah show, I had to hire a full-time bodyguard?
Yeah.
I had a full-time bodyguard who went everywhere with me. I could not even go to the grocery store without having my bodyguard with me because brothers were so angry at me, and they were coming up to me, and they were trying to hurt me, and they were telling me, man, why did you do that? Why now you got my woman asking me and questioning me and accusing me. And I've always said in my first book, second book, and all my education material that I am not talking about every black man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been real clear with that. I've tried to stand up for my sons who said to me, Daddy, make sure you tell sisters. It's not all of us.
Right.
But sometimes because sisters have really went on the defense.
No doubt.
You know, they're cute. That's why I want you to get this DVD, because not only do I talk about down those signs, but I also talk about other things that women need to be aware of and not just be afraid of dating black men.
Right.
And JL, I wanted to say, and I guess this is another plug for another book, but I know that you did the Coming Up from the Down Low, which addresses that situation. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I had to come up with the second book, man, because Tom Joyner, after I was appearing on the cover of Jet magazine, I was so honored that Mr. Johnson put me on the cover of Jet, because, you know, in our community, that is a big honor to be on the cover of Jet. So Tom Joyner and his crew, they were really making mockery of my work, and it really pissed me off. It pissed me off when so many people emailed Oprah after she aired my show 7 times, telling her they were mad at her because she was putting our dirty laundry out for the world to see.
Mm.
I got upset when Mr. Johnson and the Jet family got emails from black folks saying that they were angry because he put that message out there when all he was trying to do was to educate us. And so I wanted to come back and write my second book coming up in the download to let people know that I have accepted my own issues. I have accepted who I am, and I didn't care what nobody thought. I'm going to live my life, and I feel good about who I am. And that until we stop doing gay bash jokes, until we stop not accepting our gay and lesbian family members, because they're not going anywhere, and that this issue and this behavior has been around since the beginning of time, and until we get a grip and stop being so hateful and so afraid of it, that we will always have men and women who live on the down low.
See, I absolutely 100% agree with that, because all those people that were coming up to you and they were angry and writing Oprah and Tom Joyner and all of these people that have an issue with you bringing this out, well, then those same people need to quit being so judgmental and discriminating against people that are different.
Yep.
If they would stop doing that, then people wouldn't feel like they have to hide it and keep it in the closet, and, you know, they would feel more embraced. You know, let people do what they want to do. Your lifestyle is your business.
And who I sleep with is my business. Who I sleep with is nobody's business but that person.
But your own.
I mean, and why should I have to explain to you who I'm with? Do you know, I still get offers of marriage from a lot of women. I just got a sister recently who asked me to marry her. And I said, why would you want to marry me? You know, she said to me, at least I know who I'm going to be getting. She said, you are a very nice-looking guy, and I know what you are. You're honest now, and I would love to be your wife. I said, well, are you serious? She said, yes. And at the same time, there's another sister out there who got angry with me because I refused to have sex with her. So instead of her accepting my rejection and saying to her, you could do better, why would you want to share your life, your body with somebody else who, why would you want to do that? Instead of her accepting my decline, she gets angry and wants to blackmail me. So, you know, when you take on a cause, it can be hell. I'm telling you, it can be so.
Well, you have all kinds of people that are out there, and it's just and it's really sad. I do want to go to the phones and take another caller. Dee, did we answer your questions?
Yes, thank you very much, and I'll continue to listen online.
Thank you very much for
all
calling
right, thanks,
in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, area code 513, do you have a question or are you just listening?
I have a question and comment. Hi, Kathy. This is Natasha. Your time now.
Hi, Natasha.
Thank you. My voice is a little hoarse being in the air condition. First of all, thank you to your guests and everybody. I was in the bookstore when your book first came out. I was in the bookstore. I think I watched Oprah. I was in the bookstore, and I saw it in the bookstore, and I said, oh, and I sat there, and I read the whole thing, I think, in one sitting, and it was really interesting. So I'm really glad that you have made a good living from it, to be honest with you. The people who are entrepreneurs can appreciate that. I have a question and comment for you. Keith Boykins, you know who he is, Keith Boykins.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. He has criticized men who have come out and said the statistics are saying that a lot of men, a lot of women have gotten HIV because of men being on the down low. Of course, he seems to be kind of in denial about that. I want to know, what is your comments towards that? And Kathy was just talking about No Judgment, the Monique Show right now as we speak. Monique on MoniqueShow.com, she had on her show today about not being judgmental against people, period. So, Kathy, I have to agree with you. I'm very much in the church. I'm from Ohio, by the way, in Cincinnati, but I'm learning not to judge people how they live. It's just not right.
I absolutely agree. I mean, what people do is their business. We shouldn't judge.
First of all, I'm from Ohio, too, so...
I know you are. I'm in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I grew up in Springfield. That's where I grew up. You know,
I'm very familiar. I know. I read your book. I'm on top of you.
But the key point is, you know, everybody has their own opinion. You know, and I knew when Oprah told me that there were going to be people who were going to come out and try to discredit me and try to overshadow my message. So I never try to argue with people, because we live in a land of freedom of speech, and Keith and I have agreed to disagree. We have disagreed. We have had verbal arguments, but his message, and I stand by mine. And so all information is good information. But I always tell people, do your own homework. The information is out there, and that way study for yourself.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. I appreciate your honesty, like you just said, and what Kathy just said. And like I said, I've been looking at Keith Boykins, and I know he hasn't been doing his site because he's into politics, but I really appreciate your candidness.
Thank you so much. Get my DVD, give it to somebody that you know that's dating or out there. Get ready to date.
All right.
Thank you so much, Natasha.
I want to continue to listen on the phone, if I may.
Oh, no problem at all.
Okay.
And so tell me, did you have a question? I
just wanted to ask you, society as a whole, I think, is one of the main problems why we continue to have a rising number of cases, because we still want to be in denial as a community. There's no education in the schools. And I know you said abstinence. Of course, abstinence is the absolute best way of not getting anything. Not doing something is the best way of not getting something. So I totally agree with that. But I think one of the problems, and I know I've worked with the health department here in Indianapolis dealing with the same kind of causes, and one thing that really angers me is that we will sit back and act like our young people are not doing anything and we're not educating them, and we know statistically that parents aren't having that conversation with their kids. So the kids are going out there and they're doing these things, and we're finding out that their numbers are growing. And even now, with the advent of Viagra and some of these other drugs, men that weren't doing it before are now going out and having affairs on their wives with younger women that are infected, and the numbers are going up there. So talk a little bit about that.
See, Tony, you should be out there with me speaking, man. You should come and join me, because we need to get mothers. You know, right now we have so many female-headed households who are raising our children.
Right.
You know, I read somewhere that 78% of all black households are headed by single women. That 76% of all black women are single. And so you can have a 25-year-old mother who has a grandmother could be 35 or 36, and you got all these young people being raised by young people, so it's like the blind leading the blind. And that's why I get so many emails from young people as young as 12 years old who share with me and ask me questions about sex. Have you guys heard of this new thing now that's going on with young people called the lipstick party?
Yep.
Rainbow party, yes.
The lipstick, yeah, you know what that is, right?
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, so that goes on all the time. You got young girls who are performing sexual acts with young boys, sometimes right in the basement while the mom and dad is upstairs taking the kids, or downstairs watching TV.
Because most parents don't have a clue what that is.
They don't have a clue. I mean, I always ask parents, did you ever talk to your son about condom usage? Not just give him a condom and say, boy, put this on. I'm talking about sitting down with him and showing him how to put it on and how to take it off. Have you ever had that conversation with your daughter? Show her how it should go on and how he should properly take it off. Just handing her a condom or handing your son a condom is not enough.
True.
It's not enough.
And one of the things that's amazing to me is that, and I'm not really shooting mothers down, but or women down, but one thing that's amazing to me is there are women that will go and get birth pills for or prevention pills for their daughters. And all that's basically saying is, I don't want you to get pregnant. It doesn't say anything about, I don't want you to get infected.
Right, Tony. And they need to have – I live in Atlanta, and I know of a lady who does condom parties where she invites young people, teenagers, when they get the permission from their parents, and she has them over to her house, and she spends an hour with these young people, boys and girls, young men and young women, and she gives the condom demonstrations. She shows them how to put them on, how to take them off, the proper way to store them. So she says, like, even though you may not be sexually active, at least I want you to know when you're ready what's the proper way to protect yourself. And if you know how to use a condom, that will at least decrease your chances of 99% of getting not only HIV, but syphilis or herpes and gonorrhea and all those other diseases. Because if your body's not healthy, your mind can't be healthy, and that's going to impact our entire community.
Right, absolutely.
So we got to do better. I mean, the church needs to do better. The church needs to. There's a church in Chicago that actually gives out condoms in the vestibule, because the pastor told me that he would rather have a congregation of healthy members than a congregation of sick members that he can't work with or save their soul, because they can't even get up to come to church. So he said, "Mr. King, I know my members are having sex. I got too many single female mothers in my congregation. I have too many young men in my church who bring their baby daddies and their baby mamas to church. So I don't want to continue to stand in front of my congregation Sunday after Sunday and not deal with reality. So, yes, I got condoms in the Sunday school classes. Yes, I got HIV prevention posters hanging in the education wing. And I'm going to continue to empower my people and at least help them help themselves."
Now, JL, let me just ask you, when I advertised for this show, several people wrote in with questions, and, you know, they wanted me to ask you some of these questions. So some of these are pretty legitimate questions. I don't know the answer. You may know the answer. Can you get HIV from tattooing, body piercing, and things like that?
Yes, you can. And because if you go to a tattoo parlor or somebody who do body piercing and they don't sanitize their needles, yes.
Wow.
It's just like intravenous drug user. That's why they got those needle exchange programs, so they could decrease the spread of HIV amongst people who shoot up. So, yes, you can.
Okay. That's very interesting. And then I had another question where someone asked, if you're a lesbian, are lesbians or other women who have sex with women, are they at risk?
You know, this sex between women are not as risky as sex between men. But, you know, sex is sex, but the percentages of a woman getting the virus from another woman is not as great as it is as two men. Because, you know, when two men have sex, they exchange body fluids.
Right.
And so if I'm HIV positive and I'm penetrating another man without a condom on, and then I ejaculated him, and then I'm positive, his chances of getting positive are greater. And then if he goes back home and has sex with his girl, his wife, he could be carrying my virus because, you know, I infected him.
Right. And then what is the difference? I know a lot of people are just totally mystified by Magic Johnson, because what is the difference in HIV and AIDS? And I know HIV is the virus that causes AIDS, but how are some people able to live so long with just HIV and it never goes into AIDS?
Because they found out early enough that they were HIV positive, and they got the medical attention right away. That's why they always tell us, know your status. Find out your status. That over a million people don't even know their status. Because if you find out you're positive in the early stages, then you get on the proper meds that will allow you and help you live longer. And because you'll be eating right, you'll be exercising more, and then you'll be on a regimen that will build up your immune system so it doesn't go into AIDS and full-blown AIDS, and then that is what kills you. Magic Johnson's living so long. I got other friends, White Magic, who have been infected for 25 years, 20 years, 18 years, because they have taken care of themselves and they knew their status at the very beginning. If those people who don't know their status and get sick, by that time it's too late.
And I'll say this too, JL. I know a lot of folks may not be aware if they haven't gone and gotten tested, but working with the agencies here in this city, over the last several years, they've developed new testing. And so now they have OraSure and OraQuick. Before, you had to go in and get tested and wait a length of time to get the information. And now you can actually go in, and within 30 to 45 minutes, you can get a result. And a lot of folks are now being tested, and I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing a rise in the numbers, because some people are starting to pay attention. They do want to know their status, and because of the risky behavior, the numbers are going up. I'm hoping, I'm absolutely hoping that we'll see a trend down over the next 5 to 10 years, because people are being more aware and they're taking those precautions, but I think the numbers are going up because the message is getting out, but it's still not where it should be.
Tony, you're right about that. You know, and I think we need to decrease the fear of knowing your status. I think knowing your status is a beautiful thing. I mean, why would you not want to know your status? And if you get tested, then you need to go back and get your results as well. So some people get tested, but they never go back and get their results. But also, Tony, I want to say to you too, and I really appreciate you and what you're doing, man. I wish there were more African-American men like you. But black men professional black men, just black men, period, they need to come to the table and do their part to be part of the education process of our families. You know, right now I get invited to speak all over the country, but it's always by women. When I go, when I show up at a university to speak, it's always women in the audience. When I get invited to speak at a church, it's always women in the audience. When I go on tour, it's always women. Very rarely do we get black men to actually show up or do programs that deal with HIV education. Very, very rarely. I've never been invited by a black male organization to come in and speak to black men about down-low behavior and about safer sex. Never. In the 7 years I've been doing this.
And, you know, I think one of the reasons that is it still plays into the fact that black men don't take care of themselves the way that they should medically anyway. And
right.
then the stigma that with the possibility of that educational aspect. So it's like, if I'm talking about this, somebody's going to think this about me, and I don't want them thinking this about me. And I'll speak for every man, hopefully. That's the dumbest thing that you could ever do, to sit around and not want to know and not get educated, because you have a responsibility to yourself and the ones that you love. And we've got to stop being that way to ourselves and our families, because if we don't stop it, it's going to continue. And I was talking to a group one day, I think last month, and the group made a very simple comment. If we don't start doing more to save the men in our community, there won't be any men, and then there won't be a community.
Exactly. Right.
I could just add to that, because, I mean, even when I was married, the entire time I was married, I would occasionally go and get tested, just because what you said earlier, JL, you can't follow your husband or boyfriend or whoever around 24/7. You can't be with them 24/7. You don't know what they're doing.
And we got to continue to educate and talk
That's
about
right.
it, and we got to continue not to make it an uncomfortable conversation. I think when you get family together for family reunions or Thanksgiving dinner or Sunday dinner, that's the time we have the whole family together. Someone needs to say, hey, I'd like to know, has everybody here been tested for HIV? Because I love you. I want you to know so that we're going to lose you. You know, somebody needs to stand up and say, okay, we're gonna talk to the young people, our young cousins, and if you don't know how to talk to them, there's a lot of information out there that you can get. You can put a DVD in, you can give them a book, and make sure that they are empowered, especially before we send the millions of young people off to colleges. And it'll be the first time for a lot of young people to be away from mom and daddy. So you're going to send your daughter off to Howard or Spelman or Morehouse or Florida A&M, and you have not talked to them about sexual responsibility and not to be going into bad relationships?
That's
doesn't
right.
make sense to me.
And Tony and JL both, I want you to, you know, I don't mean to get very graphic, but, you know, this is an adult show, and, you know, everybody, they understand what I'm getting ready to say, but I want people to understand that just because you have oral sex, that does not exempt you from being able to get this disease, because you can get it from oral sex as well.
That's right.
Because
oral
if you
sex,
have a cut in your mouth, if you have a cut or a cut anywhere else, and that blood mixes with you know, saliva or whatever, it can happen.
Oral sex, or a lot of young people ask me, Ms. King, is oral sex really sex? Is anal sex really sex? Do you know how many young ladies and young girls are having anal sex because someone told them that having anal sex is not really sex?
Right.
Now, if your daughter's 15 years old and she's having anal sex with her boyfriend, and you asking your daughter, are you having sex? She said, no, I'm not having sex. In her mind, she's not lying to you, because she thinks anal sex is not sex, or having oral sex is not sex.
And it is.
And I'll tell you one thing that was really scary to me during some of the research for some of the conferences that I did, was we have a very large Hispanic community in Indianapolis. And what was so amazing is, because of the Hispanic community and a very strong Catholic upbringing and very important for the young women to be virgins, they were having anal sex and still considered themselves virgins, and they didn't want the two to cross. And they were putting themselves at risk just because of that behavior, worse than any other behavior that they could be doing, but they're still doing that and unprotected.
Yes, doing it all the time. And you have a lot of young men who don't have proper information because they don't have dads in their life. was talking about their bodies and their body changing. You have a lot of young men who are being molested and being involved with older men who are having sex with them for money, and the mom doesn't even know because she thinks her son is hanging out with this really outstanding, you know, good guy, when in reality that person could be teaching that young man about sex. And that's why we got to have kitchen table conversations. You know, you got to take some time out of your busy schedule to talk to your kids about sex and sexual responsibility and what's right and what's wrong.
And I just don't understand why that is such a major issue for guardians and parents, grandparents, or whoever you may be responsible for in your life. Because, I mean, it's not like it was back in the day when we were younger. You can die from these things.
Yeah,
I mean, you carry it with you for life. And, you know, it's something that is so astronomical that it just doesn't make sense not to have these discussions. I don't understand that.
Also, I want to say this too, Tony. I know you probably tell people this, that a lot of people think just because they go to the doctor and get a checkup that they automatically get an HIV test when they do blood work, and you got to ask for an HIV test. And so if you think that your doctor has, because he took blood from you, that you got an HIV test, wrong. You have not had an HIV test.
Yeah, and I always tell folks the easy way to know is it costs more. It definitely costs more if you do it. But the thing that people really don't realize, there's a lot of agencies now in their community across the country do free testing. All you have to do is go to that agency and get the testing done.
That's all you got to do. It's simple. It's really simple. It's easy. And I heard that they're even working on a home test. Have you heard about that, Tony?
Yes, I have. And they're, from what I understand, because I'm real close with our health director here in Indianapolis, and she's one of the top directors in the country. And in discussions with her, they're only, from what I understand, they're only about a year and a half away from that test.
Wow. Well, so they've been making progress, and we're still a long way from a cure. There is no cure. There is no shot. And I always tell young people, because that's my market right now, is working with young people, that there is no cure, no matter what Maddie Johnson looks like, no matter what you see on the videos, there is no cure. And the HIV doesn't care about your age, your education, your money, what kind of car you drive, none of that. So everybody, all of us are at risk. All of us are.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter if you're in a monogamous relationship. You could be married. That does not matter.
It doesn't matter at all. And you know what? I'm going to continue to do what I do, and I'm going to continue to speak up, and I'm going to continue to write books and do DVDs and continue to scream and holler, and I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to let people make me shut up, because I know at the end of my life, I want people to say, this man made a difference, and I feel good about my life. I feel good that God has used me. And, Tony, I want to come to Indianapolis, man. Can we make that happen?
Yeah, we'll work on that, absolutely, because there's some events that we definitely could plug you into and get you in front of a lot of folks, because there is an epidemic across the country, and the numbers are growing, and if we don't do something about it and get more people educated, it's going to decimate not only all the other communities, but particularly the African-American community. We really need to do something about it, so we'll definitely make that happen.
Let's talk after the show, and let's make it happen. One thing about me is that a lot of health departments have said that. They said, well, Mr. King, when we tell the world, we tell our community that you're going to be here, they come out. When we just say we're going to do an HIV awareness program, we may get a few people. But when we tell them that Mr. Download's coming, they come, and that's good, because whatever it takes to get people to come out, that's good. You know, so I'm definitely on this mission to really continue to push it, talk about it. So, yes, Tony, let's definitely talk and get me to Indianapolis. It's been a long time since I've been there.
All righty.
Well, Dale, we're coming down on the last 60 seconds. I know you can't believe an hour has passed that fast, because you have been a tremendous guest. You have provided us with so much great information, and I knew you would. And I really appreciate you agreeing to come and talk with us today, and we're going to have you back. And like you said, I really want you and Tony to work together and get the word out there, because Tony is a great advocate for this as well. And
whenever I get a chance to work for a good brother, I want to work for. Make sure you give Tony my number. Tony, call me, okay?
All right.
And also,
absolutely, we'll make that happen. I have all your information. I'll make sure that he gets it, JL, and. You know, I'm definitely going to be there, too, because I want to make sure we get this message out to everyone.
Kathy, let me say this before you cut me off. That is, my new book, Love on a Two-Way Street, is in stores right now. It's an amazing page-turner, my first fiction book. I would like to ask all your listeners to go out and get a copy, support me, get my book, Love on a Two-Way Street, in stores everywhere.
And it is on my website, and if you guys want to email me, I'll make sure that I can direct you exactly where to get that, because I do have JL's new book advertised on my website. So thank you to everyone that tuned in, and I am going to sign off for now. Thank you, JL. Thank you, Tony. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we'll see you here same time next week. Goodbye, everyone.
All right. Peace.